particular whether an original belief was correct or not, but that's usually what the brainwashing is. You try to get you to believe something that's not true. And I've sort of updated this with my definition. To believe something even when it's not true, in other words, you've been deceived. Or believing something is true in spite of the evidence otherwise. Your just mind's closed to the facts. You believe something and it's true no matter what the facts say. And my definition call that brainwashed. I'd like to have a scripture for this topic. Romans 1:21. For although they knew God, they did not honor God, Him as God, or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and in their senseless minds, and their senseless minds were darkened. They became brainwashed with darkness. And this was what has happened to people before the light of the truth of Christ came into their lives. And a little bit of history about brainwashing, where the term came from, and first, in relation to what happened was it was done by force. People trying to force their beliefs on somebody else, and it happened, and the definition came about from the communists in China. They had made efforts to make their people believe the communist doctrine, to re-educate the people politically. Their own citizens are Westerners that happened to be in the country imprisoned, or military prisoners. They would try to, through different efforts, to convince them, force them to accept the new political system, the new, and believe that it was the correct way. And this was also done in the Korean War military prisoners, and not in Vietnam as well. And various techniques, not very nice. They would isolate prisoners from all previous influences. People with good influence in their lives, good literature, they would not let them have any access to that. They said that like just a big prison. They would have their prisoners, yes, but also their own people. And they had regimented strict routines enforcing all these things. And there was, of course, punishments, physical stress, lack of food, sleep deprivation, such things, to coerce them somehow into conforming to the new doctrine. The new doctrine, of course, it isolated them from the previous doctrines that they knew and that were correct, and to accept the new ones of communism. And they had new people to associate with them. They couldn't associate with others that they knew before. And they were trying to convince them that anything that was against the communist cause was criminal and they should be punished for it. And so what were the results of all these efforts by trying to force beliefs on people by these methods? Well, the results were that when prisoners were released, came back home, do you think they kept those things that were forced on them? Not very long. Usually the effect was minimal after a while and short-lived. So these forced tactics didn't have long-lasting results. But that's where the term brainwashing, I think, originated from, as I was reading. Another type of brainwashing I'm going to go into here is brainwashing by self-deception. The first one, you didn't want to believe it to the kind of teacher. And this one, you want to believe it even though it's not true. And the techniques you use on yourself is you isolate from good influence, yourself from good influences, people and good reading, like Bible. You deprive yourself of food and drink, spiritual food and drink, and you get in with bad influences, new acquaintances, new teachings. And people willingly do this when they don't want the truth. And their minds become darkened, brainwashed with false, dark things. And they become deceived, believing false things. So people do it to themselves. And probably more effectively than those communists tried and that effort's by force. So the results of this self-deception is long-lasting, even eternal bad results. And the hope for them is to return home, to be released from that, to return home to God, to be restored. Otherwise, the results are devastating. I thought of the brainwash title tonight because I used to tell my little brother Chuck that he was brainwashed. He's, if you don't know, he preaches in at the Longview Church now. Just a little history. My father and family are my father's from Norway, so I think Scandinavian countries are a lot of Lutherans over there. So we first heard when I was very young, 6 years old, some of them were going to the Lutheran church. Then we started to look, my parents started to look for another church. We went to Presbyterian church. I think we stuck there most of the time. But we also, there was a Unitarian, and eventually all my father started going to our church. Then I followed in his footsteps. Didn't have any real friends or in my own thinking, real any reason to go there. So I stopped going, and my brother did too, my brother Paul. But my brother Chuck, he kept on going. And that's sort of the background. And he bugged me once in a while with his religious things, and I said, they're just brainwashing you. That worked pretty good, you know. He didn't bug me as much, you know. Probably thought, what's the hope of this guy? So that's where I was sort of getting that term from. But it became pretty obvious to me as years went on that he wasn't the one that was brainwashed, I was. By the teaching I was receiving in school and elsewhere, and you know, things like evolution, I was interested in that too. I wanted to help prove it true. Didn't get very far on that though, but got other interests. But I wasn't brainwashed by myself because I had the old condition of thinking I had all the answers. But you know, as time went on, it was obvious I didn't. So it became obvious that I needed some help, and my brother Corey was right. But throughout all this, I did have a growing desire and wanting for the truth. I knew, well, whatever the truth was, I wanted it. So with that type of attitude, God helped me to the truth. And I'm thankful for everybody who helped me on that. Just a little follow-up on that history. I came to the University of Washington and started going to church with Keith. And I would go home at break times, and I learned about the Church of Christ, the New Testament Church, and I asked people at home that if they wanted to come with me, I would visit the church in Portland and things like Minnehaha, or, and they would come with me, but Chuck did. So Chuck was, even though he had been going to church, there's another nomination or whatever, he was still open and wanting to find out more, and he did accept the new, you know, the whole teaching of the Bible. I'm thankful for that. But anyway. A person is thoroughly brainwashed when they undermine the facts I presented and still they refuse to believe it. The quote, seeing is believing. You know, what can you do and just see the facts? But still, some people refuse to believe it. And I just want to give an example from a little tract that I had a long time ago. I still have it around somewhere at home, but I couldn't find it. And guess what the title is? Brainwashed. That's another source of my talk here tonight. But it's developed in association with the scientific society, Bible science. Because I think it was probably influenced by Brian Gish, who's pretty well known. But it has to do with the fossil record. And I just want to give a little example out of that. About the obvious facts and people denying it. Because the fossil record and that's how we know about the fossil record, is how over ages of time, supposedly, Martha is probably the third, you know, good explanation. But anyway, we have these layers of sedimentary rock where fossils get entrapped, the animals get entrapped, and are fossilized. Me and Darwin use that to explain some of his evolution theory. But there's one particular one, there's several that I mentioned, but not in detail. This is going to be adequate, so don't get too concerned. But one I want to mention here is called the Cambrian explosion. Cambrian is a period of time. Before it was called Precambrian. But in this layers of sediment where you look for fossils, Precambrian, there's nothing there. At, get up to the layer called Cambrian layer, immediately there's thousands of animal types, sea animals basically. Complicated, very complicated animals, suddenly appearing in the fossil record. That's what the Cambrian explosion is. And I just want to, I have a book at home about an evolutionist. I have it, I bought it because it has some good things about things that he doesn't believe about the universe and things that correspond to Christian ideas, but he's basically an evolutionist, and I want to just quote him from him because, you know, it's moving and it's just an obvious thing that's been over centuries has been true about this Cambrian explosion. My whole chapter is called The Enigma of the Cambrian Explosion. Another quote in it says, over a relative short interval of time, all of the animal phyla, that is, categories, animal life, characterized by unique body parts, such as arthropods, mollusks, and chordates, different types of sea creatures, either evolved or first appeared in the fossil record in a relatively short time. And another quote, the Cambrian explosion is marked by the sudden appearance of larger fossils, which can be easily seen at many places around the globe. There is nothing simple about this evidence, it's plain, and it was known to even the earliest geologists. And Darwin, his critical fact, could never explain it. Since then, okay, the book I'm quoting from does go on and say, well, now recently we found microbe, I think you can see in a microscope in earlier times, but still you got that big explanation about how do you get from a bacteria to a full-grown crab immediately in the fossil record. Anyway, that is one obvious thing, evidence-wise, happened suddenly. There's no evidence of previous stuff there, so it happened suddenly, just as we would expect from creation. Also, throughout the record, you have the same type of problems, and we probably know, probably heard most of that. So just in summary, it's not a case of just a missing link that they're looking for. The case is that all the links are missing. There's a very small number of possible missing links, like they quote the Archaeopteryx type of bird that has teeth. Probably I don't see a bird with teeth. I don't think there's any current ones. But this bird turns out to be a fully functional bird, not part of anything else. Okay, I'm going to try to help explain. This is another fossilized thing, but it's it's been presented before, I think. I'm going to put it in terms of a Boeing jet. And Dale can correct me if I'm wrong. But so you got a two-engine Boeing jet, and you're going to improve it to make it a four-engine. I don't know if that's a reasonable thing, but anyway. There's a lot of planning that goes into that, and of course, and a lot of prototypes and all that. The thing is, with all the engineers and all the mechanics, all the steps that go into that, you have your final design, so with two engines, you got the four engines, and you're ready to test it out after a long time. and evolution, if evolution is true, you don't have that nice privilege of testing the partly developed parts on the plane or the animal or whatever. I mean, animal. And so, say for the Boeing jet, if they didn't have the privilege of having it all stuck on the ground, but had to fly it every time they made a minor improvement to these building these extra two engines, those two extra engines wouldn't be functional until they're fully developed, which they usually, you know, just can do on the ground, develop those things. And so, if they had to keep those planes flying while those engines were being developed, how would the survival of the fittest fit in there? They would no longer be competitive with other airplane makers. The cost of fuel would fly the extra radio, those engines that weren't useful. So they would lose in the competition area and wouldn't sell their plane. So it's just an example. It's not the fittest when it's an impartial mode of being developed. But they had, of course, they had the privilege of just designing the whole thing, building on the ground, and testing it when it's all ready to go. But the same type of thing is not possible in other, if there was evolution. You have thousands of minor changes until you got to a functional part. And during that whole time, the whole organism would be less competitive than you, and it wouldn't be the fittest. So it would die out. So it's just not a possibility. When it develops halfway into the development process, it becomes less fit for survival. Okay. I think that's obvious. Anyway, so it's and other things like that, you know, it's fairly clear from the evidence that these things, the creation, the presence of animals happens suddenly. And you have to be pretty well brainwashed in every class, not wanting to change to not accept that evidence. So this is rather than this brainwashed trend. What's the difference between being brainwashed and just learning the truth? What would your answer be? What would my brother's answer should have been? I said, if someone said to you that you were being brainwashed because you're learning about God and the Bible, or are you just being brainwashed? Well, brainwashed means you're being tricked or manipulated into believing something without supported evidence, basically. And so without good reason. You know, a person wanting you to be deceived, brainwashed, or whatever, they don't want you to search it out. You know, exactly like cults and things. They don't want you to search out the truth and find out that they're wrong. Because the brainwashed or person deceiving knows that it's false, but he doesn't want you to know it's false. So he's got ulterior motives for you. You actually believe his false things. And he doesn't want you to check it out. But when you're learning the truth, you're encouraged to check it out. Appreciate that that's the teaching here, that the leaders want us to check things out. Wants us to study about it, wants us to check out, find out if these things are true. And we have the example from, of course, from the Acts 17:11, the Bereans, a city in Asia, I think it was, or Greece. Anyway, they searched out the scripture, make sure these things are sure that Paul is telling them. And so when you're learning the truth, you know, you check out the evidence of facts. So if that's what you're checking out, you have the evidence, you have the facts, and that you can tell this person asking you, since you're being brainwashed, well, you know the facts, you know. You know the facts, and that's what it is. And the more you check it out, the more you find out it's true. So you can be assured you're learning the truth and not being brainwashed. Okay, so how do you avoid being brainwashed? It's got several points here. You've already listed others. You need to love the truth. I want to read 2 Thessalonians 2:10. one sentence like Paul goes through the verse as part of the sentence. And with all wicked deception for those who are to perish because they refuse to learn the truth and so be saved. So if you don't want to be brainwashed and become lost, you need to love the truth. Because God's going to send deception on those who don't want the truth. He'll allow it to happen. He'll allow you to be deceived if you don't want to love the truth. If you don't want the truth, you don't love the truth. God allows people to be deceived. Another point is you need to know the truth. Know the Bible. Know the facts. Know the evidence. So when something false comes along, you can identify it. Check it out. You need to be honest. Another item. God's looking for honest, good hearts, it says in Luke. I don't have the verse right here. But one reason Jesus came was to reveal hearts. The Jews want, you know, thought they were the people of God, and God chose them, of course, for the purpose that John 1, we read that when he came in, God finally sent his son. Then they didn't want him. When the truth comes, really, one has to decide whether he wants to reject it or accept it. And if you really were looking for the truth and the truth comes to you, you will accept it. But if you were just playing games and you want to have some other motive, then you're going to reject it like the Jews did. They had other motives. And you need to be willing to change. People don't want the truth if it means they have to change. Sometimes it can become very uncomfortable to change the way they are and live according to the truth. So you've got to be willing to change. And in James 1:22 says you've got to be doers of the words or you're going to be deceived. I'll read that verse. So you want to be deceived, you want to be brainwashed, you need to be doers of the word. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So if you just hear it, don't do it, you forget what really you're like, as we're going to say here. You're deceiving yourself. Because you haven't changed, you haven't lived according to the truth. And you'll be deceiving yourself if you don't do the word. So, we want to, the idea here, of course, we don't want to be deceived by false sense. We don't want to believe it's false. And these are ways to avoid that and give examples of how people have gone and still are. At the beginning I mentioned that maybe brainwashing could be considered a good thing. But usually the connotation is bad, but here's a good type of brainwashing in conclusion. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that we may prove what is the will of God, that is good and acceptable and perfect. So that's a good way of cleaning your mind up and having it renewed. God wants us to be renewed in our minds in Him. And we can have that through Christ and the truth. Thank you.